And if Jesus is Lord of your life, you've bowed the knee to him, you have a thankful spirit for his work on the cross, you are rejoicing not only in his person, but also his work, then you're calling Jesus Lord. That, who gave you that faith? The Holy Spirit. That's the point that the apostle's making here in 1 Corinthians 12:3. No man can do that except by the help of the Holy Spirit. And that's why salvation is not just information, it's not just academics. We're back again to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and we're going to read the 11 verses again. The first 11 verses in Romans 5. Let's hear the Lord's word as we read the scriptures together. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Ian Gallagher. My privilege again to come with this message from Romans chapter 5, the chapter of the believer's assurance of personal salvation. One of the biggest struggles that many Christians have is to know that Jesus died for me, to know that the blood has washed away my sins, and that my name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, you'll never know it without the power of the Bible, the Word of God. And the book of Romans is key. It is the book of the believer's assurance, because it lays out the gospel step by step in a logical manner. And the Apostle Paul argues that if God sent his Son to save his people, if Christ shed his blood for those people, and if the Holy Spirit has been sent to work within the hearts of those people, then they will be led to personal salvation and they will know it. And that's the message of Romans chapter 5 in these first 11 verses that we have just read. And so I hope that today that you will take an interest in these verses, that you will apply them to your own heart, and that you will be led to this personal assurance. That's my prayer for you, that God will use this message today in your heart to lead you to personal faith. So stand by as we bring the message today. If you're converted, you'll know it and you'll show it. Doubt will go, and others will notice, because this love of God now consumes your life, and you are affected by it in every way that you act and live. and the mighty power of the Spirit, in a sense, takes over your life. Now, there are other terms in the Bible that refer to this called the sealing of the Spirit. And that sealing was the work of a king. His ring was used as a signet to seal. And on the hot wax, that ring was stamped on the envelope of the document, and it was sealed up, and the king's mark was on it. And so this sending of the Holy Spirit is the sealing of our conversion. God has done it. This is God's work. It's grace, and the Holy Spirit seals us. The other reference is to the earnest of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit coming into our hearts, where he flows into our lives, is looked upon as the down payment of our redemption. Just as when you take out a mortgage, you put a down payment, and that secures the deal. That now is yours. You're committed to that purchase, and you're going to take on that future mortgage. Likewise, when we are redeemed, the earnest of our redemption, the sign that this we are now the property of the Lord, is that the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. It's a done deal, and it'll never be reversed. It will never be undone. We have eternal life. And so this is the gracious work of the Spirit of God. Now, the second thing I want to come to today is that this special experience is available to all Christians. Now, note how we say that. It's available to all Christians, but not all Christians are enjoying it. Not all Christians have entered into it as they should. All Christians should have this experience. And I say that because in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul's prayer, he prays that the Christians in Ephesus are led into this fullness of the Spirit. Would you turn with me to Ephesians 3 and verse 16? Ephesians 3 and the verse 16. Verse 14, he says, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And so he's praying that the Holy Spirit works in each reader of that epistle. And he says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, I believe some Christians have that, but not all. And Paul was writing to saints, and he's praying that they have more of that enjoyment of the love of God. And so as a pastor, as a preacher, he was concerned that they would live a dull, banal, empty Christian life without this full enjoyment of this love of God that passeth knowledge. The Lord wants you to be filled with all the fullness of God, and it's available to each and every Christian. Someone made the point that this aspect of Christian life and the gospel has fallen out of favor in evangelical Christianity. We have today the name it and claim it evangelism. Just say it and you're a Christian, and it leaves people with a profession but no power, a form of godliness without the power thereof. But you should know that this is what every Christian in every generation should enjoy. And there are many records of men and women, young people, who lived the Christian life with this sweet and wonderful assurance, this flooding of their souls with the very fullness of the love of God within their hearts. Martin Lloyd-Jones quoted of a minister called Richard Roberts, and at the age of 36, he died with consumption. And he wrote in his deathbed, "All around me thought me about to expire. My cough was dreadful, so were the pains I felt in my chest and side. And above all, the languor which oppressed me while I seemed almost overwhelming. But while I was thus sinking, I felt more of the consolations and supports of Christ than I ever had experienced before. Oh, with what strong and assured confidence was I enabled to look up to my Redeemer, and how gladly would I have resigned my soul into his hands. What glorious manifestations of his love and mercy did he make to my soul, and how did I rejoice to believe that in a few days more I should be with him in eternal glory." What a witness of a dying man. And it is that experience, that inner delight in the love of God in the soul, that the gospel presents to everyone to experience. It is more than head knowledge. It is more than book, chapter, and verse. It is more than just a card where you sign something. It is the new birth, the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit filling your life with a sense that God loves you. And he manifests that more and more and more. So we've established something here today, what this love of God is and how it's shed abroad profusely in the life. We've established that every Christian should enjoy this. Third thing I want to move to is that it needs to be prayed for. We need to ask this. Now, we've read the Apostles' Prayer in Ephesians 3, 16 to 19. And the prayer was that men would comprehend the length, the breadth, the height, and the depth of the love of God that passeth knowledge. That the Holy Spirit would give that insight, that enjoyment, that blessed experience. Thomas Goodwin stated, when he quoted that text of the Lord Jesus, Luke 11, 13, where it talks about if any man, let me see what it say about that, the love of God, and it talks about fathers who are good and love their children. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And Thomas Goodwin said to his people, sue God for it. Sue after it. Seek it with all your heart. Don't live an empty Christian life. Don't be at peace with just floating along with the worldly crowd. Ask that God will bestow upon you this gracious, mighty fullness of the love of God shed abroad in your heart. We have a right to cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. And that's the work of the Spirit. I want to bring you back now to Romans 8 and to this emphasis that you have now in this section on the Spirit of adoption. And we are adopted into the family of God. Look at verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Doesn't even belong to God. However, in verse 10 it says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And verse 15, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. There's that ability to pray, to ask. And someone pointed out that Abba is the same either way, frontwards or backwards. And even in the Christian life, whether you are prospering or struggling and enduring hardship, you can still call God Abba, Father. Father of his people in adversity as well as prosperity. And so this Christian hope is the right of relationship with God. God is as much our Father when he's chastising us as when he is pouring in his love to bless us. And we must always be seeking this blessing. We need to know this pouring of the Holy Spirit into our hearts, for it is experiential. It's something we can know and feel and enjoy. And when it's not our portion, we must lament and cry to God to bestow upon us a fresh blessing of the Spirit of God right into our hearts. And so this is the teaching of the gospel right here in Romans. And as I said before, this is the great treatise of the gospel, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. This is God rescuing sinners. And it's the work of the Trinity. God the Father planned it. God the Son wrought it on the cross. And now God the Holy Spirit applies it to our hearts. And without that third one, that third operation of the Spirit in our hearts, we're not saved. And we need to experience this mighty blessing. Now, you're probably trembling when I say that. And maybe there's a spirit of doubt and fear that comes across your heart as I say that without the Holy Spirit and without this love of God shed abroad in your heart, can you be saved? I want to apply a number of tests that you should apply to your heart today that you enjoy the assurance of salvation. The first one that we looked at there in Romans 8 is that you can call God your Father. You have within your heart this Abba attitude. Now, Abba is the most endearing term to God the Father. It's like a little child calling up under the lap of his dad and saying, Daddy, Abba. And so you have that. The fact that you can pray and call God your God in endearing terms. And you have this approachable spirit. You have this freedom to approach God. That's the new birth. That's the work of the Spirit. Also, you have the sense of the Holy Spirit working immediately or directly within your heart. Romans 8:16, which says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There's another test. Do you have that direct witness within your own heart? You can lie in bed at night and think about it. You can sit in your chair and pray about it. You don't need for someone else to tell you. You don't need to look up some book to enjoy it. This is something that's right in your heart. That's the direct work of the Spirit. Then you're saved. The other test is 1 Corinthians 12:3. And I want you to see this, 1 Corinthians 12:3, where where are we at here? Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, anyone can use the name Jesus. Anyone can use words. A hypocrite, an enemy can even say that in mockery. So it's not just repeating words. But if you say that Jesus is your Lord, if you revere, respect, and believe in that name of Jesus, that he died on the cross for you, that he shed his blood for you, that he rose again from the dead for us, that he's alive. No man calleth Jesus accursed by the Holy Spirit. No man denies those things when he's born of the Spirit. You can't do it. But no man can call Jesus Lord unless he's given the Holy Spirit. And if Jesus is Lord of your life, you've bowed the knee to him, you have a thankful spirit for his work on the cross. You are rejoicing not only in his person, but also his work. Then you're calling Jesus Lord. That, who gave you that faith? The Holy Spirit. That's the point that the apostle's making here in 1 Corinthians 12:3. No man can do that except by the help of the Holy Spirit. And that's why salvation is not just information. It's not just academics. It is the work of the Spirit taking this gospel, this news that Christ died for sinners, and making it a wonderful blessing, flooding your soul, shedding it abroad in your heart, so that you call Jesus Lord, understanding who he is and what he has done for your own soul. The next thing, the next test is that you call his commandments your delight. When you are born of the Spirit, the commandments of the Lord are your delight. Would you turn with me to 1 John 3, 1 John 3 and verse 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. And so, those that are born of the Spirit keep his commandments. We don't complain, do I have to? This grieves me. This is not pleasing to me. No, when we learn what is God's will, we delight in it. That's the mark of the Holy Spirit giving you faith, giving you salvation. That's the work of the Spirit. Also in 1 John 3, if you look at verse 9, there you'll see, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. Now, I know some people will jump to the conclusion and say that means then they were absolutely 100% sinless. The Bible does not teach sinless perfection. What does this mean then? It means you do not habitually commit sin. You can't do it. It grieves you too much. It troubles you too much. And when you do commit a sin, it's horrible for you. There's that immediate conviction, that blush of guilt that troubles your soul, that little preacher within hammering away at you. And you say, I can't do that. I can't go there again. I can't repeat that. I can't enjoy that anymore. And so when you're born of the Spirit, you're spoiled to enjoy sin. That's the very mark of our conversion. That's one of the tests. We are now delivered from the delight of sin. You grieve over it. It troubles you. And then another mark that is given in 1 John 3 is verse 23, is that you love the people of God. That you love the people of God. 1 John 3, 23, and this is the commandment that we should believe in his name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. Jesus told his disciples very clearly to love one another. Sometimes this is called the 11th commandment, to love one another. Now, do you love the people of God? Do you want to be in the place where Christians gather and worship? Do you want to enjoy the conversation of saints? Do you enjoy worship and prayer and to be in the place where the name of the Lord is honored and loved? That delights your soul. You're born of the Spirit. If you would rather be in the worldly conversation where the Lord's name is taken in vain and brutalized, blasphemed, if you can enjoy that company, you're not born of the Spirit. I can remember the day after my conversion where I was in the company of my aunt who used Jesus' name wrongly. I can't remember the context now, but it smote me. It smote me. And I knew that day, God has done something to me. That's the mark of being born again. And then chapter 4:20, you will see again, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? There's another test. Are we really born again? Are we really indwelt by the Spirit? We love the brother. Now, we might be having a problem with him. Doesn't mean there's no problem. But we love him. We love him for his soul's sake. We want to see his good. And if we can remedy things and work things through, we'll strive for that, for his good, not to destroy. And that's the mark that we are changed and living in the blessedness, the sweetness of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And so this is the power, the operation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. shedding abroad this love of God in our hearts. And it never stops. Once you're born again, it never stops. Now, it may ebb and flow, but it will never stop. Mr. Bunyan, in his Pilgrim's Progress, used the great illustration when the Christian was led into the house of the interpreter and he saw a wall, and at the root, the foundation of the wall, the fire was flaring up. And there was a man with wok pouring cold water on the fire, but it wouldn't go out. It kept flaming up, no matter how much water he poured on it. And Christian says, how can this be? An interpreter took him around to the other side of the wall, and lo and behold, there was a man pouring oil in a secret place in the back of the wall. The water could not put out the flame for the constant feed of oil flowing in. And the message is, because of this love of God shed abroad in our hearts and constantly being replenished day by day by the Spirit indwelling us, all the cold water of the world cannot kill the new life in your soul. It will never end. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so we are so thankful for this ministry of the Spirit, the three persons of the Trinity, the Father planning it, the Son working it on the cross, the Holy Spirit applying it in our souls. This is a Trinitarian gospel. And when God begins it, he will never end until that day when Jesus presents to the Father his church spotless, redeemed by his own blood. And then God will receive us and we will be glorified in him. So today I want you to enjoy the fullness. I want you to be praying for this. I want to be a pastor of a people who are living not in the misery of an empty life, but in this blessed experience of the Spirit filling your life with the love of God. It softens our hearts. It melts us. It makes Christ the only one we need to know, and we in whom we love and worship. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.